Hi, and welcome to another episode of Good Neighbor Pharmacy Connect, a podcast for independent community pharmacists. I'm your host, Paul Dunn, and today's topic is essential oils. Are they real or hashtag fake news? With me today is Ben Holder and Nick Sanundai. Ben Holder is a program manager for Good Neighbor Pharmacy, also has experience in merchandising, and Nick Sanundai is the media marketing manager for Piping Rock, who oversees the Nature's Truth essential oil line. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I'm super excited. We're going to cover the concept of essential oils. We're going to talk about some facts and figures for the market, what we offer today, and then why we think they are a good opportunity for a retail community pharmacist. So just by definition, if you are unaware of what an essential oil is, it is a natural oil typically obtained by distillation and having the characteristic fragrance of the plant or other source from which it is extracted. So typically used for perfumes, flavorings, aromatherapy, but in the medicinal world, they're sort of part of that whole health experience. So you've probably seen advertisements for them in print magazines or on your social media pages, and maybe wondering what they are and why they should be something that we should invest in. What about you, Ben or Nick? Do either of you use essential oils? Ben, let's start with you.
Yeah, so I am recently a convert to the essential oil market. Never really messed with them or any of that. I don't really still know the science behind it. I've read up on a little bit of it, but I do know that I use a lot of like the citrus scents just to make my room smell better when I'm in the office working.
Yeah, I'm kind of a similar thing. I just sort of like what the essential oil does to the environment in which I live or in which I work. We actually have a room here that we call our Zen room or our peace room. And when we have some of our longer, more intense meetings, we'll get in there and we'll all start working together and then just pop on one of the essential oils. Specifically, peppermint is one of ours because it's supposed to be good for focus. Nick, what about you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I may be a little biased since I have a lot of access to essential oils, right? So I typically diffuse essential oils in a mini diffuser. I connect it right to my laptop, and I'm able to place any essential oil that I like, so from lavender, peppermint, eucalyptus, and I find that it really sets the ambiance for the day.
Yeah, I totally agree about that ambiance. It's something special, I think. You know, sometimes if I'm getting ready for bed, I use something like lavender. But as you said, like depending on your day, depending on your mood, a different scent could work well for you. So facts and figures about the market for essential oils within independent pharmacies serviced by ABC, we've seen a 300% increase in sales dollars and sales units from 2017 to 2018. So one of the fastest growing categories at AmerisourceBergen. And we saw a total of $400,000. In sales dollars just for independents alone. So we saw 3,000 independents order at least one essential oil last year in all 50 states, except for New Hampshire or Vermont. So I'm not sure what's going on up there, but there must not be a lot of interest for essential oils. But it seems that there's at least people starting to try it and get into this market. Do any of those facts or figures surprise you, thinking about the typical independent community pharmacist? Nick, let's start with you. Does any of those things surprise you?
Absolutely not. Essential oil is an explosive category right now, and we're seeing the popularity grow and grow, and it continues to grow today. Even recent Nielsen data shows that the entire category as a whole has grown to by 19% recently. So I don't think it's going to slow down anytime soon. I think it's a hot trending product, and I see a lot of consumers actually reaching forward for a holistic answer to their wellness needs.
I would agree. I think there's something too about that word of mouth marketing that goes along with the category. Anytime that someone walks into my apartment, they are constantly complimenting the essential oils that I have, or just for like a, it smells so good in here. What is that? You know, so it's an easy thing to just sort of recommend or sell. I've actually been in a couple pharmacies where that first scent, it's actually, I think Stanley's Pharmacy up in New York. The first thing that you get when you walk into that pharmacy is just an overwhelming sense of a relaxation, citrusy smell. Something about that, it creates that environment. So it's definitely an easy thing to sell and have some dialogue about with whoever it might be. Ben, what about you? Anything surprise you about the category? You are a former merchandiser at ABC, so you're used to setting up different products on the shelf. Is there anything in that experience that would surprise you?
Yeah, I think, you know, the explosive growth, and like Nick said, still 19% more this year. That is a place to start getting into the niche category. Especially for our independents who, you know, are trying to claw back everything they can from the backside. So to help them be able to expose more on their front end, where they can control the prices better.
Yeah, I think that's true. Before we jump into some of that, the retail opportunity and the pricing, let's tackle that idea of are they real or are they hashtag fake news? That is the title of our podcast and something that I think Nick can probably speak to as he is the media marketing manager for Piping Rock. So Nick, let's talk about that a little bit. What's the myth about essential oils? Do they work? You know, what's your value prop as part of Piping Rock?
Thanks, Paul. That's a great question. I think they're hashtag the only news, right? Because they're so popular. You got to remember, essential oils and aromatherapy have been around for centuries, and it's really been proven as a natural way to tap into the close relationship between our sense of smell and our emotions, right? So each oil itself holds a natural, unique scent that taps into your senses. So, for example, while some oils may rejuvenate your senses, other may have like a calming, soothing effect. I think you both mentioned in your experience using, you know, lavender oil versus peppermint. So as we're seeing more and more consumers looking for a holistic approach to their daily wellness routine, we're really seeing essential oils be an answer to that. Not all essential oils are created equal, so some companies may have certain things in their essential oils. So you got to keep a lookout for the labels, right? So you have to see that these essential oils that you're looking for are 100% pure and natural essential oils, that they're plant-based, that they're non-GMO, and they're free of things like gluten, parabens, and artificial fragrances. And I think that's the most important thing that consumers are looking for today in their essential oils.
Thinking about the non-paraben GMO types of products, who's the typical shopper for an essential oil? So for our independent community pharmacists who are listening, they might not know who that person is or who their target market is. So Nick, how would you describe the target market for our independent listeners?
Right. So typically the aromatherapy customer is one that's looking for one, you know, the natural approach when meeting their wellness needs. This consumer is educated. So they're looking online. They're turning to places like Google and Pinterest, social media, to really find a natural way to incorporate this aromatherapy in their everyday lifestyle. And not only incorporate it, but have a fun time and a fun experience actually using it. So they're looking for ways to use aromatherapy in the home as a wellness solution. And like I mentioned before, that's free of GMOs and allergens like gluten or harsh chemicals or additives.
Yeah, I think that's poignant. So Ben, when we talk about that retail opportunity and your experience as a merchandiser, where would you put essential oils on the shelf? How would you try to reach that consumer?
Yeah, so as a merchandiser, one of the main things I would focus on is making sure that it's close to the front of the counter, usually in your vitamins and your natural selection areas, and that's usually at the front of your store. And that makes it easy for your techs to go ahead and bring it up. Or to make sure they're talking about that product, but also, you know, makes it a little bit harder for it to just walk off your shelf and not be paid for.
I think that's a good point of concern. It is a smaller product. Nick, anything to add on where you would merchandise it?
No, I agree with Ben completely. I think, you know, for example, the vitamin section, that's a home run there. We see a lot of crossover with the introduction of aromatherapy, especially with us in the vitamin category, which has in fact brought new users to that category.
Great. Okay. So let's talk about the different types of products. Nick, I heard you mention, you know, you have a USB diffuser that you plug right in, but let's talk about those two things. So the diffuser and the essential oil. Why do you need to have both? What's the difference between both? How do you package them together? So that's a couple loaded questions that Nick, I'll turn it over to you to talk about.
Sure thing. Thank you. When you see essential oil, typically the main use or what someone usually thinks about how to use it is that diffuser, right? You simply just put a little bit of water in the diffuser and, you know, 1 to 3 drops of your favorite essential oil, so it could then diffuse into the air as a mist. You don't have to limit yourself to the diffuser. You can do other things like create soaps and candles, even a foot bath. Or you can even simply just put it into your shower. You can just add a few drops of your favorite essential oil, let's say eucalyptus, to the corner of your shower. And what it does is that creates a unique steam experience for you. And so you feel amazing in the day from the start and really sets the tone. So when you think about how you're going to package these together, yeah, obviously you're going to include that diffuser as part of the line. That's definitely something that's connected. But not only that, if you're not a do-it-yourself person, you don't have to do all the work to create your own soaps or candles or do a massage oil, but there are a variety of products out there like roll-ons and mist sprays that are already mixed with a base oil. And usually what a base oil is an almond oil or a coconut oil. So you can apply it topically without worrying about having that base oil and essential oil on hand, bringing it around with you to just make an easier experience.
Well, I think that's an interesting point. I won't tell you who the manufacturer is, but I do have a soap that is essential oil based.
There you go.
And it is something that does create a different experience within the shower. So Ben, thinking about the dollar value that would have something to do with the diffuser, in your experience as a merchandiser, what's the dollar value that can come with the diffuser?
I think what's nice about this category, right? It's kind of a newer category for our independents to be getting into. But as a merchandiser, I used to talk about the home healthcare products and how that was just a straight cash business. You could bring those in at cost and say $10 more and just get them moved in and moved out, right? Make sure they're not taking up your inventory. You know, you don't have to run it through insurance. So I think that's the beauty of having, you know, if they can buy a diffuser at cost for around $10, $20, $30 and flip it for a $10 profit and not have it on their shelf for very long. I mean, it's really a great cash influx really quick for our customers.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think to the same point about the essential oil, I think it's something like 45 to 60% margin, which is much more than we're making on the back end. So while the dollar value may be small, I think that the margin opportunity is extremely high. And thinking about that as a category, you could have 4, 5 up to, I mean, Nick, you could probably tell us how many SKUs are available with essential oils, but the opportunity is there to make it as small or as large of a category, depending on the shelf space.
Yeah, and like you said, yeah, we're definitely seeing plenty of SKUs out there, right? There's so many different plants that are created into oils that there's no limit on what you can actually sell on your shelf space.
Let's talk about that a little bit more. I think a question that we often get as part of the consumer products team is where do I start? So what are the 4 top selling oils that I should have that can take up minimal shelf space and minimal work to turn over year over year? What are those top selling oils that our customers should be purchasing that you see as the best oils to have in the market?
Paul, without any doubt, it's peppermint, lavender, tea tree, eucalyptus, and frankincense. I mean, these are the real single oils that you're going to see out there being popular. Of course, there's some blends out there, but if you're just looking for a starting kit, those would be the oils that I would suggest. We're seeing low sales of those top 5 oils across the board.
Thanks for that. Yeah, Ben, anything to add? Any favorite scent that you have?
So I'm a citrus guy. So any lemongrass, I'm all for right now. And with what Nick's saying and what we're talking about, when you talk about the top 4 scents or whatever 4 scents you want to carry along with a diffuser, you're looking at only taking up 8 to 10 inches of a shelf, right? You're not asking to reconstruct your whole front end to bring in this small amount of product. Remember that when we're thinking about it.
That's a good point for us to sort of close out. So thinking through for our independent customers who are listening, where you can find these products. If you go into ABC Order and start typing essential oil, you'll see there's quite a few available right now from a couple different manufacturers. So Nick, obviously your Piping Rock products being available for our customers is essential, but also make sure that our folks are picking up diffusers as well. So you want to start small. But again, these products are available through your distribution centers. And if they're not available, you can get in touch with us at goodneighborpharmacy@AmerisourceBergen.com. And then we can figure out how to route different product to your distribution center. It's not a category like pain care or vitamins, but it can be cross-merchandised with some of those categories. So we want to make sure that it's available for you when you're thinking of what are those categories on fire that I need to be investing in right now. So I appreciate you guys both for jumping on with me today and talking through essential oils. I think we can probably conclude that they're not fake news. The retail opportunity is high and that it's probably something our independent customers should be working on. Any final words before we depart, guys?
No, I think we said it all, Paul. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. Had a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Good Neighbor Pharmacy Connect. You can access more episodes of this podcast through the GMP Central page, which is accessible on ABC Order, or through iTunes or your podcast player of choice. Stay tuned for future episodes. And please, if you have any questions, email us at goodneighborpharmacy@AmerisourceBergen.com. Thanks for listening.